It is a blessing in the Lord to be here this midweek worship time, just to come together and go over the Word of God with you. As you know, we've been going over the book of Acts, or working through the Acts of the Apostles for several months now, and we'll be in it for several months to come. We're just not quite halfway through the book right now. We will be starting in Acts chapter 12. But to get us from where we start, where we are, we need to go back, because it's been a couple Wednesdays. Last Wednesday, there was a little bit of a snow thing that happened. It got kind of nasty out. And last Wednesday, we just kind of got together. We prayed. We talked about stuff. We really didn't go over the Bible that much. So I need to kind of go back and refresh. You know, sometimes if you sleep on your pillow for a long time, you got to fluff it up. Well, we got to fluff this up. All right, now the Word of God is plenty fluffy, but just bring back to our memory where we had come from. A couple of weeks ago when we were here, we were talking about how another persecution, or the persecution of Christ, or the persecution of Christians, how it started in verse 19 of chapter 11. And now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travail far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Okay, and to refresh our memory a little bit, there was a time when Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church for the Jewish religious sect, Judaism. They were coming against this new work called Christian. Well, actually, they were called the Way back then. And so the working of the way, where Jesus talked about repentance, and he said that he was bringing a new covenant in his own blood, and he was talking about trusting in him and eternal security in him, and where the sacrificial system wouldn't be nearly as important as what it used to be. And Saul, being a good Pharisee, he had a zeal for the Lord. And so he started the persecution. He was coming up, and there was a gentleman by the name of Stephen, who was standing or teaching or preaching, talking about Jesus Christ to some of the Judaizers, or the folks who believed in Judaism, or still did believe in Judaism, the Alexandrians and the it started with C. I can't remember. Caesarean? Yeah, something like that. Syrians or something. Anyhow, it was a couple folks, and they didn't like it too much. So Stephen gave them the history of Moses and how God brought the Hebrew people all the way up until Christ. They didn't like it so much, and so they latched onto him with their teeth, and they brought him out to the side of the town, and they stoned him with stones. And there was a young man there holding their coats whose name was Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus was agreeing with what they did, and that was the start of the first real persecution of those who believed, who followed Jesus Christ. And those folks, when that persecution arose, they scattered throughout. One fellow that the book of Acts talks about was Philip, right? Philip, he went to Samaria, and he started preaching there. And there was a revival. There are folks getting saved right and left, coming to the Lord there. And then after he got finished, he was there preaching, the angel of the Lord told him to go out into the desert. And he met the Ethiopian out there, and he talked to him about Jesus Christ through the scripture, the prophet Isaiah he was reading. And the Ethiopian believed in Jesus Christ and got baptized. Amen? All right, and then from that point, we come into where Saul got saved. All right, and when Saul got saved, he started preaching Jesus Christ, but then he got hated by the Jews, right? They started hating him because he was preaching righteousness. And so this part of the Bible right here, this part of the book of Acts, is reminding us of that time, you know, when it came. And so those folks who were trusted Jesus Christ, and they fled to these other parts of Asia during that time, to Phoenicia and to Cyprus and to Antioch, but they only spoke to the Hebrew people. They only spoke to the Jewish people. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which were come to Antioch, and they spoke to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. It's great how the good news can be held into one group of people. You know, you say, oh, I'm only going to talk to these folks over here. Well, these people knows those people over there, and those people knows those people over there. So if I talk to Jesus Christ to Joshua knows 50 people I don't know. And he gets saved, he gets filled with the Holy Ghost, and he goes and starts talking to those 50 people. And who knows, one of those 50 people may have been a Gentile. He may have been one of those Mexican folks. He might have been one of those African-American people. He may have been an American Indian kind of person. Who knows? Joshua likes a lot of different people. Praise God, yeah. And he was preaching Jesus Christ to them all. See, some religious folks say, I can't preach to those kind of folks. Because we go to a white church, or we go to a black church, or we go to this kind of church. Stop that. That's stinking thinking. All right, there are no differences, and Jesus doesn't see the color of a man's skin. He doesn't care what color you are. He looks through the blood. Are you washed in the blood? That's the only question that you're going to have to answer to. And so anyhow, there were some Grecians that ended up hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the hand of the Lord was with them. A great number of them believed, and they turned to the Lord. Amen? The Holy Spirit, he doesn't care whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. He doesn't care if you're bound or you're free. He loves you, and he wants you to know him deeply and personally. And then the tiding of these things came to the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch. And when he came, he had seen the grace of God, and he was glad. He exhorted them that were with the purpose of heart, that they could cleave unto the Lord. And he was a good man, filled with the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added to the Lord. All right, so at Jerusalem, they heard that their church was growing in another part of the world. They sent a man up there. Hey, Barney, check this out. Barnabas, go check this out. Go see if what's happening is really of the Lord. He went and he preached Jesus Christ. This man was solid in the Lord. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and with faith. And many people started coming to the Lord. The church was growing. And then in verse 25, and then Barnabas, he departed to Tarsus to seek for Saul. Remember Saul? He was the one who was persecuting the church at a time when he got saved. All right, then back in, I think it's chapter 9 of Acts, I think it's chapter 9, where Saul left Jerusalem and he went to Tarsus to hang out there for a while. It's been 10 years since Barney and Saul had seen each other, but Barnabas remembered him and he went to find him. And so he went and he sought out Saul, and he found him and he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that they were there for a whole year, and they assembled themselves with the church and taught the people. And the disciples were called Christians for the first time. For the first time in Antioch, you were called Christians. It's funny because they were calling us Christians kind of to put us down. They weren't calling us Christians because it was a good thing. Oh, you're one of those. We don't follow that God. We follow follow this Greek God, and you name the name of it. I can't come up with one, right? We follow Zeus, right? Or we follow this God. We follow that God. We follow Isis. We follow all those other things. But no, you're called Christian. We believe in the one true God. And the church was growing at that time. And they stayed there for a whole year, and they taught in Antioch. In those days there came a prophet from Jerusalem and unto Antioch, and there stood one of them named Agabus, and he signified by the Spirit that there should be a great drought or dearth, a famine is another word for that, throughout the whole world, or throughout all the world. And it came to pass in those days of Claudius Caesar. I'm glad that they said that, because that gives us a timeline when this was happening. This was about 49 to 52 A.D. That's when he was in office, around those times. So we know about how long it was from Christ's death to Claudius Caesar's time. And then the disciples, everyone according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren that dwelt in Judea. And so they did. And they sent the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. All right, now, anytime God starts doing something, the government starts sticking their nose in it. We're going to see that here. Do you think that we are the only group of people who've ever tried to worship the Lord underneath an unjust government? No. No. Listen, as long as there's been a church, there's been folks who didn't know the Lord that tried to kill us. All the way back to Saul's time, right? Saul, he was part of the governmental system, the Judean, Hebrew system. There's a big word for that. I just won't roll out of my tongue right now. Judaizers, yeah. Judaizers, they were strict in their law, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were strict that way, and so Saul started the first persecution. After that, Christians were people of the way, were run all over the known world, and the church started to multiply and to grow. Every time that God allows an ungodly ruler to come up and try to fight against the Word of God, it seems like the church grows. Amen. It seems like more people get saved. I am glad that we're living in the time that we're living, because I think the church is going to grow. I really do. I'm not talking about a worldwide revival or nothing like that. I'd be happy to see those folks who call themselves Christians today to really, really be Christians. All right? You know, those who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. All right? Yes, I'm a Christian, but, you know, I really don't read my Bible. I really don't pray, and I really don't want to socialize with you guys, you know? No, I want those who call themselves Christian to be excited about reading their Bible, to be excited about prayer, to be excited about fasting, to be excited about coming together inside of a building as the body of Christ and glorifying Him and really being the church. And I think that we're at that spot right now that might be turning a little bit where we... And I'm praying that God would send His Holy Spirit and start igniting the church because of the persecution that's about to erupt in the state of New York. And you say, why do I think that there's an eruption starting in the state of New York? Because there's a clean dividing line between righteousness and unrighteousness now. All right? We're having that day of mourning coming up Saturday. There's a clean dividing line. All right? And it blows my mind, and I'm sorry I'm running down this rabbit trail, but this is just on my heart. It blows my mind that in all the churches in all of New York, this is the only church in the whole state of New York that's sponsoring this thing. And how do I know that? You go to the website, right? And they have all the churches that are sponsoring it. There's churches in Illinois and Idaho and Alaska and Texas and just all over America that are supporting this movement, this day of mourning. And in New York, they're having it over in Albany and right here. And that's it. Doesn't that kind of blow your mind? I mean, you look, it blows your mind, doesn't it? So I'm really excited about what God's going to do, because there'll be a dividing line. Who really believes in the sanctity of life and who doesn't? Right? I think we're going to see some folks here. I think that I'm praying that we don't have room to do anything but stand up like sardines in here. You know, we're going to be packed in like sardines. Anybody here remember sardines? Buy any sausages? I remember those. They all fit in a can, right? You can't get the first one out. They're packed in like Viennese. I'm hoping that will happen. But serving God has never been easy. In fact, Jesus said that if they hated me, or if they hate you, know that they hated me first, right? So just be prepared for that. And chapter 12 and verse 1, now about that time, about the time that they were taking up a collection and the things were going on in Antioch and over in the northern southern Syrian part of the world there, the Christianity was growing. About that time, Herod the king, he stretched out forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Be prepared for the governor not to be happy about this. Be prepared for those who are liberals in this area not to be happy about this. Be prepared for those who celebrated the death of babies by this new law through the governor. Those who on the day that he pronounced that we can take a child out of the womb and murder it on the table, and they started screaming and celebrating and praising their God, because they were having this great party because now we can murder babies on the table. Those folks are not going to like that we're gathering together to pray. And those folks are the ones with the power in the world. They are the Herods of our day, all right? And they have the authority, you know, they can call the state police if they want to. But just watch out what happens as we go into this. And the king, he stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Watch out, Christians. When you start standing up for Jesus Christ, be prepared for the government to want to kill you. Be prepared for that. Just be prepared for it. It could happen. You're saying that will never happen in America. Oh, yes, it will. It will. There's coming a persecution on the Church of Jesus Christ right here in America. And I'm not saying, Johnny, go get your gun, but I'm saying, Christians, it's time to start to pray. Amen. If God is going to move in this nation, the people who are called by the name of Jesus Christ have got to repent and pray and seek His face, because He is the only one that's going to heal this land. Amen. Because we have made a mess out of it. We have laid dormant and let Satan rule in the state of New York. All right? And you think it's a safe act? No, it ain't. They'll come and they will wipe you off the face of the earth. But as they do, let our blood be the watering grounds. Let our lives be the watering grounds of the church to come tomorrow. Amen. Let them walk across my back. Amen. That they can have a chance to worship the Lord in freedom once again. Amen. So anyhow, Herod, he comes up. He wants to kill some folks. He takes James, the brother of John, kills him with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, the religious people of the day, it pleased the Presbyterians, or at least the Presbyterians in this area, because they believed that you ought to murder your babies in the womb, the church, right up the road. All right? Now, I'm not throwing stones at them or nothing like that. They believe that you can do that. All right? The Episcopalians, they don't really care. Here in this town, they don't care if you murder your babies. It doesn't bother them a bit. Now, when we stand for righteousness, expect those folks, and they're the people with power in this area, you know. So when they come against us, expect those folks to rejoice. Finally, that Bible-preaching church, that crazy, bow-legged, short, uneducated pastor, they finally put a bullet in his head. They finally hung him onto, what's that monument in Caledonia, that Yankee fellow they got over there. And so they hung him up by the foot of the Yankee and beat him with a stick till he died. Woohoo! He's finally gone. Those days may come, and you might not think it, but are you prepared for that? It could happen. It could happen. So anyhow, King, he decided to kill James, and it pleased all the religious people. So he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were those days of the unleavened bread, so they're right around Passover time. Time is the week of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison, talking about Peter, and he delivered him into the four quarters of soldiers to keep him, and intended after Easter, resurrection, to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made through... Amen, catch this. But what was made?
Prayer.
What was made, church?
Prayer.
So when they come get you, what are we supposed to do?
Pray.
I didn't see. And so they took Peter and all the church, rushed the jail. No, that ain't what they did. They got together and they prayed. They pulled together and they lifted up the name of Jesus Christ. They pulled together and they said, "This battle's bigger than us, God. We need to bring this before the Lord." And they did. They brought him and they prayed. And when Herod had brought him forth, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. I like it. The world cannot chain you down. You see that? Put him in between two soldiers. I'm stuck here. I hear you, baby. I'm stuck here between soldier number one over there, soldier number two. They're armed to the teeth. They got their AR-15s, their pea shooters, their slingshots. Boy, they got their toenail clippers. They're ready to do some damage, right? And I'm chained in between them. You're chained right in between these guys. And you cannot get away. You're chained with big chains. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I see a light turn on in my house, I wake up. I just do. It's kind of agitating because we got one of those motion lights. We got a two-story house, and we got a narrow set of stairwells, and it's close to the bathroom. And when you get as old as me and my wife are, you go to the bathroom a couple times a night, sometimes more than others. Amen? Anybody here feel me? All right? Yeah. And so you get up, you go to the bathroom. Every time she goes to the bathroom, the light turns on. I wake up. And it's not, it's down the hall, it's around the corner. But the light turns on, my eyes pop open, one of those things. These guards were supposed to be attentive like unto that. But the angel of the Lord turns on the light. That Shekinah glory of the angel just turns on. The only one who gets up is Peter. So we'll look at that. And the angel said, right side and left, and his angels, and excuse me, verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came in, a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side. Just like that. Get up. Kick him in the ribs. He smote him in the side, rise up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands.
Woohoo!
Oh, when God comes to deliver you, guess what? Your chains will fall off. What do you think is holding you back? What is holding you back from serving the Lord? What's holding you back from waking you up?
Us.
Amen. And the angel of the Lord is ready to set you free from the things that so easily ensnare you. I want to be kicked a little bit. I really believe we need an angelic host to come here and start kicking some folks in the ribs. All right? It's time to wake up, people. Time to wake up. And so anyhow, he says, the chains fell off of his hand. The angel said to him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and he followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. When God does something, it might seem like a dream to you. I just can't believe that God would do that. You know, remember, it wasn't long ago, Peter saw a vision of some big sheep being lowered down. He was, had the name on the tip of my tongue, Joppa. He was in Joppa in Simon the Tanner's house. And God lowered the blanket down to him when he was hungry about lunchtime. Over the meatloaf and through the gravy, you know, somehow stomach growls. Anyhow, he was there, and the Lord said, all right, Peter, get up, go kill and eat. And he said, I can't kill anything. I've never eaten anything unclean. All the possums and squirrels and stuff were in there, but he couldn't eat none of them. And God said, don't even think what I've cleansed that it'd be unclean. Go ahead and get you some. So he made him a big old squirrel sandwich. Good stuff. Anyhow, excuse me as I chase that rabbit down the trail. And so, but see, he thought he was seeing a vision. He didn't know for sure what it was. And so when he passed the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leads unto the city, and it opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and passed through on one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know for surety that the Lord sent his angel and delivered me out of the hands of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Amen. When God delivers you, how far does he deliver you? All the way. He brings you all the way out of prison. He brings you all the way through the gates. He brings you through the first ward set of guards, the second set of guards, all the way out of the prison. He brings you completely out. And then when you come to the big gates of the city that you know you can't open by yourself, angel just opens them up. He doesn't even try. You don't hear him lifting the door handle. He just says, open. And they open up, and you walk through. And then when you get to the other side, and I like that, sometimes you don't understand that you're being guided by angelic hosts or you're being protected by the Lord until you're at the other side. You know, all that time, Peter thought, I'm living a dream, man. I must be dreaming. This can't be real. But there he was on the other side of the gate. Reality struck him. He said, man, here I am. And so, and when Peter came to himself, he knew that the Lord had set him free, amen, from the Herod and from the Jews. And verse 12, and when he considered these things, he came to Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark. And there were many gathered together, and they were doing what?
Praying.
So, now no doubt the angel of the Lord sent Peter loose. No doubt the angel of the Lord took him out from around the guards. No doubt the angel of the Lord opened up all the doors that he could get free, took the chains off of him, and brought him to the outside of the gate where he could look backwards. But what was the church doing?
Praying.
They were praying. Did they know that Peter was being set loose at that time? Absolutely not. Had no idea. They were just praying. They're saying, God, I don't know what your will is. I don't know what you're doing here. But Lord, if it be your will, set Peter free. We need him. We need him to lead the church. We need him. We need him, God. We love him. Don't let him be killed tomorrow. They were praying. They had faith. Well, they had faith, but they really didn't believe that they had faith, as we'll find out here in a minute. And so, and this guy, John Mark, you're going to find out he's going to end up traveling with Barnabas and Paul. You know, he's going to be traveling through, and then Paul's going to get a case of the angers at him because Mark wants to go home to be with his mom a little bit. He's a young man, and he wants to go home. You know, so he ends up, we'll get to that later in the book of Acts. And so, and Peter knocked on the gate, and a damsel hearkened. Her name was Rhoda. Man, I tell you what, them good old names, right? And so a damsel, that's a young girl, her name was Rhoda. And she knew Peter's voice, but she opened not the gate for gladness. And she ran in and she told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, "You're crazy. You're mad." Isn't that what happens so many times? We see something that God's doing, you go to tell your friends. You won't believe who's at the door. You won't believe who's at the door. It's Peter. He was just in jail a little while ago. You won't believe who's at the door. Oh, Rhoda, you're sweet. Bless your heart. Bless your heart, honey. Go sit over here. Can you give me a glass of tea? You know, come on. Can you go? You're crazy. We know he's in jail. And we not only do we know he's in jail, but the last we heard, he was on the inner part of the jail, surrounded by two guards and chained up. There ain't no way that Peter could be at the door. Because if you look only at the physical things, there's no way that Peter could get where he was at. There's absolutely no... Now think about this. He was chained, had a Roman guard on each arm. He was chained in the inner part of the prison. Right? He had to get away from those guards. He had to go through two wards. Had to get on the outside of the jail. Then he had to get to the outside of the gate, which the gate is always watched. They had watchtowers, watchmen on the towers. They had to get to the outside of the gate before Peter could ever even realize that he was free. There's no way that Peter could do this in and of himself. But there he was. And a young girl, little girl, old Rhoda, she knew it was him. I don't know why she didn't open the door right off, but she probably because her daddy told her not to. Rhoda, don't open that door, girl. I told you, shut the door. Are you trying to heat the outside? Amen? As I know, I've told my kids that. But she knew his voice, and Peter continued knocking, verse 16. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Wouldn't you be? There ain't no way. Peter, what are you doing here? Wow. What a sight. But he beckoned them that with their hand to hold their peace, and he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go and show these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Peter had to leave there because if he would have stayed there, everybody in that place would end up getting killed. You know, so he said, listen, I love you. Go tell it to the other apostles. Go tell it to the brethren. Tell it to the rest of the church. They ain't going to kill me tomorrow. I am not going to be the Passover lamb. All right. I'm not going to be the one who dies tomorrow. All right, I'm heading out. Y'all let everybody know. And as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers in verse 18. What was come of Peter? Now imagine that if you was that Roman soldier. Me and George right there, we went to sleep, and Peter was right in between us. Did you see him get up? I didn't see him get up. You see him get up? I didn't see him get up. We need to go look. And so I imagine they ripped through that prison, boy. They rolled everybody in that prison out and looked at them inside out. Because we're going to find out, the Romans, if you lost a soldier, if you lost your prisoner, you had to die that prisoner's death, whatever it was. So they really did not want to lose it. That very much the way that when Jesus was put into the tomb and Pilate set the guard there, the Jews set the guard there, and they put the signet ring, the wax, anybody, they should have been crucified. All that troop of men should have been crucified because they should have been watching for the rolling of the stone. No man was supposed to get Jesus' body out. It's pretty cool because no man got Jesus' body out. Amen. Jesus got his own body out. Amen. Nobody rolled away the stone. He said, move it. You know, the angel rolled away the stone for Jesus. And so the angel also got Peter out of jail. And so, and when verse 19, when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers. And and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and he abode there. And so, remember the last time Peter was in Caesarea? Whose house was he in? is the first Gentile group. Huh? Yep, no, that was in Joppa. So there was a fella in Caesarea. His name was Cornelius. All right. His name was Cornelius. He was a centurion. And he sent for Peter to come up, and that's the whole vision of the blanket coming down that I was telling you about. And so he went back to Caesarea. There's already a church started there. Remember when Peter left? A lot of Gentiles were getting saved. And Cornelius, his whole family, and all Cornelius' friends. And they had the gift of the Holy Ghost falling on them and stuff like that. And so he went there because he knew he had safe haven in Caesarea. And Herod was highly displeased with them at Tyre and Sidon. All right, so the page kind of turns a little bit, and we get into some politics. Herod was the king of a region, and two towns that were in there, we'll say Scottsville and Caledonia. And we were going against Mayor, what's her name, up in Rochester? Crazy chick, what's her name? Lovely Warren. So Caledonia and Scottsville is going against Miss Lovely Warren, right? And Miss Lovely Warren gets a case of angry, right? Well, you can't go against me. And since Rochester sent a lot of money to Caledonia and Scottsville, they didn't want to lose their income, all right? Is really what happened, what's going to happen here. But Herod was displeased with them for whatever reason, these two towns. But they came with one accord to him, having Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desire peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. All right, so Scottsville and Caledonia want to make good with Miss Warren, you know. And so we find somebody who's a friend of Miss Warren that's friends with us. We send them up there and say, make her a peace offering that she'd come down. And so that's kind of what happens here in verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod arrived with royal garb, all right, all kinged up. And he sat upon his throne and made an oration to them. And the people gave a shout, saying, this is the voice of a God and not a man. Don't all them liberal folks want to hear that? You know, they do. They want to hear that. You're a God and not a man. Oh, I love, anyhow, I'll stay off of that. And immediately an angel of the Lord came and smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and he gave up the ghost. Now, I'm not wishing anything bad against our governor, but wouldn't it be great, as he's up there pounding himself on the chest, look at what a great thing I did. I've done this, I did that, and God just let him be eat up with worms right in front of you. Amen. Wouldn't that be? I mean, talk about a revival starting, you know? So anyhow, he's eaten up with worms and he gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Amen? That's the good news. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and they had fulfilled their ministry, and they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So they come back to Jerusalem, they go and they pick up John Mark. And they're going to start their first missionary journey next week. And so praise God. Love you guys. If there's anything to hold on from this teaching tonight, it's simple. God loves you. He has a plan for you. Don't worry about what the world's going to do to you. God's bigger than the boogeyman. Amen? God, he can handle it. Don't worry about it. If you happen to get thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, so be it. It's okay. If they want to kill you and it ain't your time to go, they will not be able to do it. It's all right. It's okay. And if you die preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, whoo, what a sweet day. What a sweet day. Go ahead, send me home early. Right? I don't care. My bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Anyhow, God bless you guys. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord God, we do love you. We praise you so much for your goodness and grace. Father, I do lift up this time that we've spent with you this evening, Lord, just going over a chapter of your word. Lord, looking at the way that you provided safe travel for Peter, the way that you covered him and sent an angel for his rescue. Father, the way that he was not afraid to be incarcerated for the glory of God. Lord, I thank you for the church that stayed and prayed, Lord, Father, and that you touched lives in a real personal way. Lord, we just lift up for the things that you have challenged us to do and to become. We ask, Father, that we would be those loyal servants to the high calling of Christ. We thank you for those things and so many more in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.